Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. 7:05 on March the 3rd, a Thursday. We're quickly getting to the weekend, which means two more working days until Monday. Hey, our phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we are streaming at KCNR1460.com, which means is that we are going out over the computer through the internet, and you can listen to us, you know, get your computer out and click on KCNR1460 and go on to listen to the show. And you can hear us on your you can hear us on anything that gets you internet. You can listen to us on your phone. We've had people text us from Nova Scotia. We've done had people call us from Paris, France, all these places. And I'm joined today by Bad Bob.
And good morning.
How are you doing today, Bad Bob?
Quite well. I had a beautiful drive in, and, you know, for the first time last night, I had occasion to cross the Cypress Bridge at night, and I kind of wondered what was up with the ice cream cones, and when they're at night, when they're lit up, they're rather impressive.
Well, you know, they do. That's what they're there for, and plus, it looks kind of like you're coming into Vegas a little bit, you know. You almost want to start singing, Viva Las Vegas, da-da-da-da. Or maybe not, huh? Hey, Linda's on assignment today because she's got her show tonight, On the Spot with Linda Bott. She's got a bunch of great guests on there. I mean, she's last week she had the guys from the Rat Pack on. And and tonight she's going to be talking again about theater and music. She's got a number of different people that are coming on tonight at 6 p.m. So, hey, Bob, Bob, you get to do the news.
You mean the
weather? I mean the weather. Yeah, weather.
Well, for the first time in a whole week, we've got no red or yellow boxes around the temperature. Right now, 42 degrees downtown. Look for a chance of showers this afternoon. And then it should be mostly cloudy tonight. Increasing clouds tomorrow and rain likely over the weekend.
Let's talk about that rain last night. Let's just talk about the rain
thunderstorm?
Last night.
Oh, man.
The thunderstorm with lightning and thunder, and it rained. It rained so hard that one of the drops knocked down Elk Killer. The drops were that big. Stunned her. I had to run out, throw my body over her, pick her up, and protect her on the way back in. Didn't even thank me. Anyway, hey, we're going to take...
Yeah, one estimate was like an inch of rain coming down in the space of an hour. That was great.
Yeah, well, you know, that was a lot of rain last night. Okay, we're going to be talking. We've got a big show today. We've got so many things. We're just trying to catch up right here. But of course, we're going to start out with some commentary about things that are going on. The Westboro Baptist Church had its day in court in the Supreme Court. We've got guests from the Military Order of the Purple Heart. We have some people coming in to announce that the Ninth Circuit Court is coming to town to speak this Sunday. And we're going to be talking charter schools. I think all these are going to be interesting. I think you're going to like all of them. And I think it's some room in there for contention. But for the first 15 or 20 minutes, I think we can find a few things to talk about besides the Westboro Church. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah. The home of Free Fire Media and Carl, our 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:12 on up. Thursday morning, the 3rd of March. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming at KCNR 1460. You know, Linda's off on assignment today, getting things done for tonight. But let's talk about the Supreme Court. Let's talk about the Westboro Baptist Church, which I've had personal contact with. Westboro Baptist Church is one of those cults, and we can use the word cult here, and even in the way you say it, cult, is something nasty and slimy. This church started, gosh, I don't know, back a decade ago or so, maybe longer. And they've become famous because when a Marine had been killed in combat and been brought back to be laid and buried with honors, the Westboro Baptist Church shows up and starts screaming and saying things, God, it's good that your son is dead, God hates your son. God hates gays. God is not on the side of the United States, and just made a terrible, terrible mess at this Marine's funeral. A father sued, and a lower court said that he didn't have a right to sue, and that then he was going to have to pay the fees, the lawyer fees for the Westboro Baptist Church. And I think somebody, I think it was O'Reilly, stepped in and paid those fees. Anyway, made its way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, on an 8-1 vote, said that the Westboro Baptist Church, no matter how slimy and treacherous and hateful the things they said were, that they were protected. They must yield the First Amendment protection for free speech. And all but one justice sided with a fundamentalist church that has stirred outrage throughout the country. 8-1, the decision is in favor of the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas. And that was the latest on a line of court rulings that Chief Justice John Roberts said in his opinion that court protects even hurtful speech on public issues to ensure that we do not stifle public debate. Things that these guys had said were, thank God for dead soldiers, you're going to hell, God hates the USA, thank God for 9/11, and many others. Now, they came up here when we had, remember the firefighters who had been killed in that crash, the helicopter crash, I believe it was 11 of them. And there was a memorial service held for them up north. And we heard that the Westboro Baptist Church was going to be there. Well, the Patriot Guard Riders, which was formed because of the Westboro Baptist Church, when people said, you know what, if they're going to protest, there's no reason that we can't counter-protest these people. And that began the Patriot Guard Riders. And their mission was to go there and counter-protest anything the Westboro Baptist Church was going to do, get between them and the family with flags, and to honor those fallen warriors or those who have served the public like this. Well, at first there were physical confrontations, and then that stopped. But anyway, a couple of years ago when they had the ceremony up here, Westboro Baptist Church showed up, Patriot Guard Riders showed up. I was honored to be there, and I watched these people. It was all women. I think there was a man there, but he never showed his face. But it was all women, older women, and then some young girls, say, you know, in their early teens. And they did. They held up very, very provocative, nasty signs. They were singing things. They were saying, hey, we're glad they're dead. I mean, just all types of stuff. And somebody was walking by, because they were on the opposite side of the road, and we were there with flags up, and then the ceremony was another 100 yards away. And I think that's probably what most of them do, is they keep them, you know, 100, 150, 200 yards away. They've been here before. They were here for Josh Munn's funeral, but I never even saw them. They were so far away. Anyway, somebody was walking by, and just when the lady shook the sign at him, he grabbed the sign, and she starts screaming for police. And, of course, the sheriff's deputies were there, and they walked over and told him just to, you know, just move on. And she said he assaulted her, he needs to be arrested, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, the whole day was, you know, just watching hatred. And watching what it did to people. I watched the women that were there, that were the older women, that their faces were stern and what can I say, ugly? Yeah, ugly. Ugly in their hate. Ugly in their hate and in this belief that they need to punish. They need to say these hateful things, these spiteful things, the castigating the families and the men and women that died. And then I looked down and I looked over at the younger girls. And I was thinking to myself, you know, one question I wanted to ask them, is this where you want to go in your life? Is this what you want to be? Is this where you want to go, is to end up like her? And I thought maybe it's probably their mother. Maybe their aunt. But they were there and they were singing. And I thought, here's these young ladies or young women, these girls. Yeah, what chance do they have? Are they going to be able to break away from this? Is at some point they're going to see that this hatred is so wrong that they can step away? Now, as far as the decision, you know, I agree. You can't stifle speech because you think it's hateful or you don't like it. Because as soon as you say, well, this is terrible, you can't say that. You know, it could hurt those people's feelings. What's the next step? I think anybody that looks at it can say, you know, you can put some restrictions in the sense, well, I'm too sure about this, but you want to protest, fine, you can protest here. We can limit where you protest. as you can limit where people can parade, and you can limit where people, you know, get together. But to stifle it and say it's wrong, it can't be. The Supreme Court was right on this. So, Bob?
Yeah, when I was news director over at the other station, we would get the faxes from these folks. And Fred Phelps and company, I mean, this guy he needs to be in a straitjacket. There's just, although you wonder, he appeals to certain people's fears, and he's probably raking in the dough in the form of donations. You know, it's going to take a pile of money to do this. So he's found a niche for a very tiny paranoid segment of the society, and he's cashing in on it, and I find that utterly reprehensible. Well, and I don't think he's religious at all. I think he's a showman cash guy.
That's
a snake oil guy.
Yeah, people are here saying that that there are only 60 of them, and I think you're probably right, 60, 80, and I think a lot of them are related. And I don't, you know, fathers, daughters, and then, you know, then cousins and uncles. And they have, they've traded, you know, I know that they have traded their spots. We won't show up if you give us radio time or things like this, you know, so we can get our message out, et cetera, et cetera. But it's still, you know, the fact is that the ruling had to be, no matter how repulsive we find them or repugnant, the ruling had to be on their side. And to think otherwise is to kind of put all of us into a real steep, slippery slope. Because at that point, once you say that something's hateful, then maybe something I say about President Obama's could be considered hateful. Or something you say about your target of choice could be hateful. And then guess what? You end up going to... you end up going to court, and then you lose your right to say that.
Okay. When you start picking and choosing, democracy becomes a shadow of itself.
Right. Okay, when we come back, we're going to be talking to our Military Order of the Purple Heart. It's going to be rolling in here, and we're going to be talking about some things they're doing with Gunnery Sergeant Bill Phelan, Carl Lindbach. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott, 7:24 in the morning on March the 3rd. It's 44 degrees. Looks like it could be a better day than yesterday when we got, like, tidal waved out of here. And this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. 244-1988. Doug Tooley has done a great job of putting Dish Satellite in. He's a local guy, 15 years in the business, and he guarantees his work. We have him. We've used him at the house, and we've had nothing but excellent, excellent service. So it's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Now, our guest sitting here across from me, he's all dressed up, sports coat, you know, shirt. I mean, he's, you know, his hair's on his head. You know, hey, Gunny, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Gunnery Sergeant Bill Phelan. Even though he's not a gunnery sergeant, he retired as a master sergeant.
No, I've made first sergeant. But you had to hold it for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And they found me medically unfit to be deployed, and so I actually did retire as a gunner.
Okay. Well, we always like you as a gun anyway. Okay, Military Order of the Purple Heart.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. First of all, I owe you and Linda, or my organization owes you and Linda and Bad Bob here a tremendous debt of gratitude for the tremendous support you've given us and all of our fundraisers. We actually exist on the goodwill of the community, and the only way that they know that we exist and what we are doing for the veterans and their families is through the media. And we don't get much help from the print media, but we get a tremendous help from you folks and the radio stations, and we are just eternally grateful, and we're much appreciative.
We're eternally grateful to the Military Order of the Purple Heart. You don't get that for kind of getting up out of bed every day and walking around and going down and, you know, having a cup of coffee. You get that because you've been wounded in the service of this country.
Well,
and if there's anything we can do to help, help with fundraisers or expand people's knowledge or let people know what's going on, you know, we're all over that.
Well, that's a perfect lead-in, Colonel, because we do, in fact, have an event coming up Wednesday the 9th. We are honoring Gold Star mothers and wives of our county or North State veterans who have been killed in the service of their country. So far, I have 11 firm, committed wives and mothers to come. My purpose this morning, and thank you very much, is to alert the people that have not heard of it thus far, that anyone they know who lost a husband or a son in defense of this country, we would welcome them at this event.
Okay, and now when's this event going to be?
It's going to be Wednesday, the 9th of this month, a week from yesterday, and it's going to be that we're cutting it pretty close because we do need an RSVP probably by this weekend, so we'll make sure we have enough food for everyone. But our county official's going to be there. You know, Linda Hartman's always been just a tremendous asset to the veterans community, mm-hmm. and she's bringing her colleagues from the county. Our sheriff will be here, Tom Vasenko, who's an outstanding. In fact, I heard him on your show last week, and I don't think that the police chief is going to make it, but he has delegated one of his captains is going to represent him. So these ladies will be well received and appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. And so, okay, that's going to be on Wednesday,
the 9th.
And it's going to be down on Yuba Street?
Yeah, Yuba Street at the Veterans Hall.
Okay, now how can they RSVP?
Well, actually, now, there was a little bit of a caveat. When I talked to the Record Searchlight, and I explained to him that it was for Gold Star mothers and Gold Star wives, and he, for whatever reason, maybe it was my fault, but he put relatives in there, and actually, Our seating is going to be limited for our guests and our mothers and their husbands, or in a couple of cases, there's one lady, Mrs. Simonetti, who has a 9-year-old son who is the surviving brother of her son who was killed in Afghanistan. And so we have to be a little prudent in our invitations. And basically, we would like mothers and wives of soldiers who gave their lives.
Okay. All right. Now, how can I've got 1 minute left. How can they get a hold of you?
They can call me at 241, area code 530-241-6730. And our chapter commander is Jim Berg. Jim's on the chest of they investigate all the fraud and everything.
Oh, okay.
The grand jury. He's a grand jury foreman.
All right, one more time. What's the number?
Jim's number is 530-229-0828, and mine is 241-6730.
Okay, Gunny, thanks a lot for being here, and it's next Wednesday we'll talk about it again.
God bless. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the best of you fellas.
You bet. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment, 7:34 in the morning on March the 3rd. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we're chatting, and as a number of people are in the chat room again, our coffee group this morning on KCNR 1460. 44 degrees today. It's going to be raining at some point. It looks like those little cloudy things are out there. And the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's, right up close to Shingletown. Great food, great service, great ambiance. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. And on a day like today, it's cloudy and cold. It's not cold, but it's just kind of nasty. Go down to Lumberjacks and get those breakfast specials Monday through Friday. $3.99 for a big plate of ham and eggs, or you get a chicken fried steak or New York steak for $5.99. Great food. They are a local company. They are a local restaurant. And the people there that work there are so nice. They are very, very accommodating. Okay. You know, we pride ourselves on community radio. So everybody here. And here's one of our favorite people, Doug Bennett.
Hi, Carl.
And Doug is a representative of the local chapter of the ACLU, and wanted to come on today and talk about the Ninth Circuit Courts coming to town.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to get the chief judge of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to come up and visit us, and I can give you that information right now if you want.
Sure. Let people know. We'll talk about it a little bit more, too.
Okay. He'll be giving a talk on privacy, which is another aspect of our liberties that a lot of people don't understand very well. But he'll be talking about that on Sunday, March 6th, from 1 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So that's a Sunday afternoon, this coming Sunday afternoon, at the Sequoia Middle School Auditorium. That's on Sequoia Street here in Reading.
Okay, well, I gave out some bum scoop last night to some people that were in the legal profession, and I said they were coming. They didn't even know, and these are people kind of higher up in the legal hierarchy, that they didn't know that he was coming into town. And I said I thought it was going to be at the library, but it's not. It's at the Sequoia Middle School, and you told me that before. I just blew on that one. So, okay, so he's going to come in and talk for how long?
Well, you don't tell the chief judge how long he can talk. We're going to let him talk how long as he wants. He's a pretty interesting character, and you can Google him. He's been in a few interesting situations himself legally. So, but
like what? No, like what? He's been in situations legally?
Yeah, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but... and I don't know that he got... I think they... Somebody in the legal profession challenged him. Apparently he had some bunch of pictures up on a website of his, along with a lot of his writings. He's been published in numerous law journals and in magazines. And but he had some pictures on his website that were a little risque, and he didn't know that it was a public website that anybody could access it. And so when they called him on it, he said, well, you know, people send me stuff all the time. I just stick it in a folder on this internet site, and there it is. And so some of it he had to go back and look at.
So he's saying ignorance of the law is okay.
I don't know that he's saying that. maybe ignorance of what you're on your internet site is probably a danger to you professionally.
And clear on the concept.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that would go back to a privacy issue too. You don't really know, especially on the internet, how much you're.
So what's he going to be speaking about? Is that our privacy is being invaded by the government and others?
No, I don't think. You know, judges have to be real careful because when they, hear a case, they got to stay pretty much to the script, just like the ACLU, you were talking about Westboro. They have to pretty much support the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, even if you don't like what somebody's saying. You have to be careful. So a judge is the same way. And we don't even know what the contents of his speech is going to be. We just know privacy. And so we're going to be anxious to see that, too. But he has written several papers. They're on the Internet also on privacy. And interestingly enough, our U.S. Constitution doesn't have a clause about privacy. But the California State Constitution has a privacy clause. So in California, you're much more likely to have your privacy protected maybe than you would by a federal court.
Really? Okay, Doug Bennett's our guest today, and Doug's a representative of our local ACLU. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got a couple of I've got some questions and some other things. One of the things is about the Westboro Baptist Church ruling, and that Doug came in and cleared up something on this that I think is important. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in just a minute. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment at 7:43 in the morning, 44 degrees, the 3rd of March, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, one of our favorite places down there. There's great walk-in humidors. Cigars are on sale down there. They put them in special little packages, and they get great, great prices on them. And then you go over to Espresso Joe's and get that coffee you want, fixed the way you want by the ladies there. It's a great place. They support the community. They support our veterans. This is Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley. They are friends of ours, and they are friends of our community. And our guest today is Doug Bennett, who is a representative of the American Civil Liberties Union. And one of the things we talked about when we walked in was that Westboro Baptist Church ruling. Okay, and Doug, you corrected me on it, and thanks for that. But what exactly was it? There's a big difference in this.
Yeah, you know, protected speech, other than the fact that Westboro Baptist is a religious group, or cult, as possibly as Carl says.
They give the word cult a bad name. You know that? You know, like the thuggy cult, you just go around, you know, I mean, they're worse than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, but the difference is, because a lot of the statements they made in this and the things that are said on their signs are general statements. In other words, if they say, God hates you, and they say that to everybody that goes by, or that sign has been used in 10 different demonstrations, then that is a general statement. It's not about you, and they didn't really have a sign or shout at this particular thing that your son is going to hell or God hates
your son.
They
didn't use his name, or they were not specific, and if they were specific, then something could have been done.
Yeah, then that that would have been that would have been outrageous and specifically directed at the Marine that had died and his family. So that would have landed them in trouble. And the other thing you had wrong about it was, it was actually the jury of the peer of his of the peers. The jury actually found for the father and awarded like $5 million.
Right. Well, that was at the beginning. I knew there was something like that, and it had been overturned in the
court.
Right.
It had been overturned at the appeals court level, because this is kind of how our process works. You know, you have your local court, then you can appeal it up to the next court, and then to the next court, and then eventually the end of the line is the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
And so that's what happened here. It got reversed at the appeals level because of free speech issues, and actually the judge at the lower court level kind of messed up. And this will happen, too, once in a while in the court, because the judges at the lower level sometimes don't have the sophistication, let's say, of the higher court judges. And their decisions can be reversed at the Supreme Court level. They don't get reversed by
anybody. Speaking of reversals of courts, let's go to John. Hey, John, welcome.
Good morning, Carl.
How are you?
Good morning, Aunt Linda in absentia, and Dad Bob. And Doug, nice to have you there with us.
Thank you.
You know, I've got to make, before I ask the question of Doug, which I've got, the most disgusting thing about this Westboro group to me is their righteous empowerment implication, like God is giving them the right to do this. And the disgusting part of it is that what they do stays with the survivors for the rest of their life. And it's just disgusting. But anyway, they still, the ruling was correct. Their behavior is despicable.
So you have a question for Doug?
I do. Doug, the city is in negotiation with Bethel Church in regards to taking over the convention center and being given a management contract to be able to decide the functions of the convention center itself, and whether or not people are going to be able to use it, and who's going to be able to use it, and when it's going to be able to be used, including they're going to be able to assign days to themselves whenever they choose, at whatever rate they choose, as it appears. Is the ACLU going to be looking into whether this is a violation of church and state, and whether that wall of separation is being breached?
You know, I read this article myself, and I had that same question, that how can you turn over public property to a church? It seems questionable, but I don't think it has been brought to the ACLU's attention, though I could be wrong. You know, anybody can call the ACLU, and I don't have the hotline number with me right now, but you can get it a lot of places. But and this might be a question. But if you're familiar with how our city council works, and now I'm just talking about another city, I'm as a citizen, not as an ACLU rep. Our city council pretty much sets its mind to something, like the library is another question that the city council has brought up. How can they limit speech out in a public area in the library? Well, I don't think they can, but they're going to try. And I think the same thing has to happen here. If citizens have a question, I want to challenge this. I don't know if it was on the agenda last night. I didn't look at the city calendar and city agenda, but people need to show up and ask these questions and make their own council members think, because a lot of times they don't think. They just listen to staff, they listen to a couple of people they know, and they make a decision on that, and they need the input of citizens to make democracy work.
Doug, how big is the ACLU staff up here?
Oh, well, we don't have any staff in Reading. We're all volunteer here in Reading, but in San Francisco they have quite a large staff, and they have their own building in downtown San Francisco.
Hey John, we got to run. We got a break here, and we got a bunch of other questions here.
Doug, are you and Michaela going to do a garden this year?
We're going to work at the teaching garden out at the college. But thanks for the question. But I'm going to work on my own garden next year.
Okay.
I'm moving into a new house. I'm designing a house.
Okay.
I'm off.
Thanks a lot, John.
Bye.
One of the questions from our, does the guest support the Second Amendment? like the First Amendment?
I think we support all the amendments. There's no question about that. In fact, we support even treaties made through the Constitution, which becomes part of our law. And when those things come into question, human rights issues and other issues. So the gun case, what we were talking, the Second Amendment, but also the gun case we were talking about in Illinois during the break, where
they want to make a list of gun owners public.
Yeah. Now, you know, these things become questionable, but even the Second Amendment only guarantees your right to bear arms and to have arms and bear arms. It doesn't say necessarily that your identity is protected. And in fact, you in the article that Carl showed me, it's questionable whether they can protect that list of gun owners. So this is another one of those things that may have to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Okay, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the head judge of the Ninth Chief Justice is going to be here on the weekend and talking, and we've got other questions too. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest is Doug Bennett from the ACLU. That's Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 7:55 in the morning. March the 3rd. We're just marching through here, too. And it's going to be like a little bit of a rainy day. It's 45 degrees right now. Our guest is Doug Bennett, who is local representative of the ACLU. And, you know, one of the things you said earlier, Doug, this is a setup, is that, you know, you said a judge, you know, at a lower court was, sometimes they're not as sophisticated and they get overturned. Hasn't the Ninth Circuit Court been overturned more than any other court in the United States?
You know, I don't have those statistics, but we know that they've been overturned along with, there's several things that are pending even in the Supreme Court. So, of course, they've done their own overturning of many decisions themselves at that level. But they are one step below the Supreme Court. So the only people that's going to overturn them are the Supreme Court justices.
But they're not. I wouldn't say they're not sophisticated. Would you?
Who, the Supreme Court justices?
The Ninth Circuit Court.
No. I would say they are sophisticated. And they're like the Supreme Court. They work as a panel. So it's not like one judge. Usually at a lower court, you have one judge presiding, and one judge makes the decisions, and one judge directs the jury. So one judge is much more likely to be wrong than five or eight.
But these five or eight have been wrong quite a few times, according to the Supreme Court, haven't they?
Well, some of us would say the Supreme Court's been wrong quite a few times. So, you know, these things, you know, over the years, you know, several hundred years, well, a couple hundred anyway, these things ebb and flow. A lot of times our justices and judges are affected by politics. That's their appointees. So we have to remember that these are political appointees, and that's why appointments to the Supreme Court are so critical sometimes to the law.
Yeah. One of the things that we talked about, you know, we touched on here was the library. And we had on our show that day ACLU rep and representative or a gent named Tim Pappas, who does a lot of work with the local Tea Parties and We the People and others. They both stood together shoulder to shoulder on this question about limiting free speech at the library, and I couldn't help but agree with them. And because too much of it seems like it's on a whim of whoever's sitting in the office down there in the library.
Yeah, that's the thing about free speech. If somebody's telling you when and what you can say, well, then it's not free speech. And that's why it's so important, because and I don't know why the library, I'm sure if you ask most librarians if they could give their opinion, they would say, no, you don't do that. But this is not librarians. But we're talking about the management and the city council here in Reading. So we're not talking about librarians. Librarians are notorious for supporting free speech and privacy. That's a big part of their job. They protect your records and they protect you. And so not all information should be public. And that's why we have courts to decide those things. What serves the public interest? What doesn't violate our laws?
Okay, tell us again where the when the Chief Justice is going to be here.
Chief Justice Judge Alex Kozinski, Chief Justice of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, will be here on Sunday, March 6th, from 1 to 3:30 p.m. at the Sequoia Middle School on Sequoia Street in Reading.
Okay, I think that'll be an interesting time.
Yeah, there'll be a Q&A period for him, so if you've got questions about things like the reversal of Prop 8, which is another thing that the Ninth Circuit was involved in, you may want to ask him that. I don't know how much he can respond, but there's certainly we can ask him.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting question since the people voted for it, and how now the state is now joining in against what the people voted for. I find that interesting. Of course, everything the state does is kind of interesting in one way or the other.
Yeah, well, I think it's in front of the state Supreme Court right now, the Prop 8 reversal. So it'd be interesting to see if and when they act. They haven't done much with it.
No, they haven't. Well, it is interesting. And you know what? There's just so many questions we get into concerning that. And but we've run out of time. So, Doug Bennett, thanks for stopping by. And, you know, don't be a stranger here. We've got always got room for you all. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. When we come back, we're going to be talking charter schools. And let's talk about what they do for our community.
You're listening to KCNR's Shasta Ready.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and us. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting at KCNR1460.com. 8:05 in the morning on March 3rd. And Linda's not here. She's on assignment. It's Thursday. She's on the spot with Linda Bott tonight at 6. Entertainment, theater. I know she's going to, you know, giggle and gush about the Rat Pack's back. She did a super job there, and we keep hearing about it. The weather today, Bad Bob, what is it? It's going to be it's 45 right now.
Yep, 45 degrees downtown. Showers this afternoon, and that should be clearing up this evening. The increasing clouds Friday and rain off and on over the weekend. And weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
That's right. Anselmo Vineyards, great place to go. Head on up there to towards Shingletown. It's like 12 miles from Palo Cedro. Food there is always, always outstanding. Service is really, really good. You know, they treat you like family. It's a great place. The ambiance is there. I mean, it's just a wonderful place to eat and just go out and walk around the grounds. Our guest today, Aaron Stewart, who is the principal and superintendent of the University Preparatory School. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm great.
That's super. We've been wanting to have you on for, gosh, weeks, and I'm trying to work everybody's schedule out. I know things have been really busy, and you know, UPREP is a charter school. Can you tell our listeners, you know, what a charter school is?
I think the most important thing, and the thing that a lot of people don't know right off the bat, is that it's a public school, and so like any public school, the money follows the students. So the funding for the student goes to the school. That the student attends. And like any public school, we follow all the same laws, federal laws, health and safety laws, most of California Ed Code, to protect the students and assure an equal, equitable education. We don't have any restrictions on students who attend the school, except that they fit into our age range of 6th through 12th grade. So, that's one thing about charter schools I think people don't know. The other thing is that there's a couple of kinds of charters. Ours is a startup charter, and I believe all of the charters in this area are charters that started from the ground up. There's also something called a conversion charter, where if 50% of your staff or 50% of the parents sign a petition, a regular public school can be converted into a charter. And that's happened a great deal in Los Angeles, Sacramento, bigger cities.
I saw a little bit of a documentary. I don't think it's the one that, you know, that everybody's talking about, Waiting for Superman. This was the one where the parents wanted to change to a charter school. Mm-hmm. And it got into a real fist fight between the union and the parents and the teachers, because over 50% of the teachers also signed, said, we want to be a charter school. And it was all types of retaliation done and all this. I mean,
well, LA Unified is notorious for that. They had several schools become charters. A 4,000 student high school became a charter.
I think that was the big one that it was talking
Granada
about.
Granada Hills. It's ugly.
Yeah, it was because I think the parents felt like they had had enough at
right.
that point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so a charter school, what's the differences between a charter school and just a regular school?
Well, if you look at it historically, really charters have been around the state about 17 years now. Not quite that long in this area. In 92, State Senator Gary Hart started charters, and the whole idea initially of charters was to allow schools to operate outside the restrictions of a district. And so from our point of view, it's an opportunity to work outside of institutionalized bureaucracy. And most charters are non-union. Mm-hmm. Of course, the employees have a right to organize, as always. But most charters don't have a union, and so that allows them a certain amount of freedom that you wouldn't get in a regular public school system.
Okay. We've got to take a break now. I want to talk about that. That's an important part. And we've got some questions here about how does UPREP compare with the other schools and all blah, blah. Okay, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Our guest, Aaron Stewart, who is the superintendent and the principal of University Preparatory School. It's an interesting interview. We'll join you on the other side. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today, 8:13 in the morning, and it is March 3rd. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. And we're talking about a pick and pair lunch. That's right, a pick and pair lunch available Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Soup and salad combos, or soup and sandwich combos, or salad and sandwich combos. You name it, you can come up with a combo. They're going to have it there for you, and all of them under $8, and some of them under $7. And the soups aren't just those little soups that they kind of find, you know, out of a can. We're talking French onion and tomato Florentine. Great sandwiches and salads. That's Lumberjacks. They're a local business owned by our neighbors down here. And when I say our neighbors, I just mean citizens of the Redding area. Let's go down there. They've got great food, and the service is wonderful. Our guest, Erin Stewart, am I pronouncing that right?
That's correct.
And she is the superintendent and the principal of University Preparatory School. One of the questions that came in off the chat room was, how do you all compare scholastically with the other schools?
We're doing very well. We're a small high school, so that gives us some advantages. And, of course, we have a junior high that supports our program. But right now we have the highest academic performance index for a high school in this county, and in several counties, actually. Excuse me. We're also a California Distinguished School. We were ranked in the top 500 high schools nationally by Newsweek last June.
So you would say then that you're like kicking butt?
I would.
Okay. You know, but there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's something to be proud of, you and your students. Now, I have to make a disclosure to everybody that, you know, I was, I do have a teaching degree, and I got it many, many, many years ago, and then, you know, didn't use it. When I came back to Reading, I decided to become a teacher, and so I was doing the substitute teaching. And I taught at various places. I taught out at Enterprise. I taught at the facility, the Juvie facility, Oasis, several times. But I was also able to be at UPREP, and I was just I was so pleasantly, I guess, surprised, because I taught anywhere from the sixth grade level all the way up to the seniors, of your classes, the scholastic ability of your students.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, they are. I mean, it's like even in sixth grade, they were, you know, I mean, they were into things, talking about, you know, things happening in Greece and, you know, in the 12th century, or the, you know, before, you know, BC times, and they were, you know, it was just good. It was fun being in that atmosphere where they want to learn and where they were having just a good time at it.
That's great.
Okay, when we left, we were talking about how a charter school is different than a regular public school.
Right.
And one of the things you talked about was unions, that the charter schools are not unionized.
That's correct. Well, they don't have to be. They don't start that way. Some districts who authorize charters, they roll those charter employees right into their union. So there are there are charter schools that are members of bargaining units. However, we're not. And when we started the school was started by teachers and a counselor. And I mean, I think the teachers and pretty much parents and students were all products of education. We all think we know the best way to go about things. And so when we started the school, we were anxious to do some things that hadn't really been possible as part of a bargaining unit.
Okay, like what?
Well, for example, in this community, high school teachers teach 5 classes a day. At my school, they teach 6. And they also teach either an advisory or a tutorial, about a half an hour class at the end of each day. So they teach more.
Okay, and what's wrong with that?
Well, I think it's a great thing, but it wouldn't be something we could bargain. You know, get a whole group of people to agree, yes, I want to work more for the same amount of money.
And that's essentially mm-hmm. what it is. I want to be there for your students. Mm-hmm. I want to be there for my students longer.
And it gives the students more opportunities. Our high school students have 7 periods a day they can take rather than 6, which mm-hmm. is typical of the public schools in this area. So if you're going to go to college and you're on that honors AP college preparatory track, sometimes, I know this was true for my son, and he's a product of great education in this area prior to this school, you don't even have an elective choice until you're a junior. And so what if you play the saxophone, or what if you're a dancer or whatever? We wanted the kids to have enough periods in the day that they could pursue those interests as well.
Okay. I remember then when I was there that at the end of the day I would have, you know, I'd have children come rolling back in that, mm-hmm. you know, at the end. And you started the school, when you first started the school, you had like 200 students or something like
257.
That. 257 students. And that was in 2004. All right. Now, how many students do you have now?
Today we have 789 students.
789 students. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you get into your school?
Just by applying. We actually have a lottery process that's part of charter law. So we have an application period. If we have more people apply in that period than we have room for, then we have a public lottery. In fact, our public lottery is next week on March 10th.
Okay, a public lottery. Now, so people that say, hey, you know, I'd like my kids to go to a school where maybe they've got a better chance, you know, starting out. And again, I'm not slamming our public schools at all, but obviously you all are doing, whatever you're doing is working. So I want my kids to go there. So what's their chance?
Their best chance is to start in sixth grade.
Okay.
Normally in sixth grade, we have about 150 applicants in our first application period, and that's the size of our sixth grade. And so it's more difficult to get into the school as the years go on.
Because the kids don't drop out.
Right, they don't.
So what if I had 3 6-foot-4 triplet daughters who were great in volleyball and basketball? Did their chances get better?
No, but I'd be rooting for them.
Okay, we got to take a break here. Our guest, Erin Sturt, she's the principal and superintendent of University Preparatory School. We're going to be talking more about what a charter school does and what it offers to students that's a little bit different than the other schools that we have in our great city. Carl and Linda Bott. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, a home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:23 in the morning on March the 3rd. Still 45 degrees. Linda's out on assignment today because she's got On the Spot with Linda Bott. And this portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite and Doug Tooley. Doug's been in the business since 1985, except the time he was out with the 82nd Airborne. He puts in Dish Satellite, does a great job. He guarantees his work. We have him at our house. And you give him a call at 244-1988. 244-1988. It doesn't go out of the state. It goes right here to 1345 Liberty Street, and Heather answers the phone, or Doug answers the phone, and they'll get that, and they'll get the Dish Satellite up and working immediately. Our guest from the University Preparatory School, is the principal and the superintendent, Erin Sturt. Good morning again.
Morning.
We were talking about we've talked about how UPrep is scholastically is done really, really well above the other schools. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with saying that because it's true and it's something to be proud of. You've got approximately 790 students.
That's right.
You started in 2004, mm-hmm. and you started with two, 257 students then.
In grade 6 through 9.
In grade 6 through 9. Okay, so now you're going up through seniors.
Right.
And you're building every year.
That's correct.
But you want to keep the school small.
We want to keep the high school small.
Okay.
Because that's one of the reasons that actually Shasta Union High School District was interested in chartering our school, was because they don't have a small high school alternative. And this drew back students from private schools and homeschools, brought them back into the public school system. Because not all kids flourish in a big school. Some kids need that smaller environment. And just, you know, there's more opportunities in a smaller school. We have a full athletic program. We have a performing arts program. And so...
You have a really good performing arts. You had James Santos there.
Yes, quite recently. And now,
he's working in the big time now. Cirque du Soleil.
He was back yesterday.
Was he?
From Cirque du Soleil, a judge for our school wide talent show yesterday.
Well, great. That's super. Yeah, and I noticed that it was that you had. James Santos is probably one of the best, you know, choreographers that you're going to find anywhere. Obviously,
yeah, he's amazing. And our current. He shared that job with Marissa Canavy, who's a credentialed teacher, was a dance major, an excellent choreographer. In fact, she was in the project dance, was one of the prima ballerinas, so she's doing a great job there, too.
That's super. Now, how do you get your funding?
We get our funding from the state and from property taxes, like every public school in California. And charters are funded at a slightly lower level than a regular public school. And
why is that?
You know, I think the idea behind that is that we would be free of a lot of the mandated restrictions on schools, that we wouldn't have to spend money in certain ways, so we wouldn't need as much money. I don't know that that's true, but I think that was the idea. The money follows the kids, is how that works. And in this area, you know, we had a lot of private schools, we had a lot of people in the home schools, and... I think that there was a real interest in the public school community in drawing kids back into our system. The schools around here are all excellent. And so it's a little different than in an area like in Oakland or someplace where you...
Or in L.A. where you have some huge problems with gangs in the schools.
And you don't want your kid at
school. The other thing, too, we talked about is you have open enrollment.
In this county, there's open enrollment. So students and parents can take their kid to any school they want. And so I think that probably it's more of a practice around here. So when we started the charter school, it wasn't like we were drawing all the kids in who would have automatically been in a neighborhood school. If you look at the districts around here, they have students from all over the place, not just their own districts.
Well, one of the things you said is with the money, it's a little bit less money.
Right.
And then you have... you know, but you have a growing student enrollment.
So then
more money then comes to the school. What do you do for extra money?
Well, we have a foundation. Actually, our auction is this Saturday night, and they are just up and running now. This is our third year. They do a great job raising money for the school.
You mean this Saturday night?
This Saturday night.
Two nights from now.
Mm-hmm. It's big.
What are y'all going to auction?
It's down at the Gaia. We have a silent auction. We have a dessert auction. We have a live auction with Mark LaSalle. They've got houseboat trips, vacation homes, all things that were donated, all kinds of baskets. And I mean, it's a wonderful community event. We have over 200 people coming for the dinner and the auction already.
And you take donations, too.
Absolutely. Although this is the main fundraiser of the foundation, we have a goal down the road to really raise significant funds through donors and all kinds of things, because we're going to need an independent source of funding. Everybody has been cut horribly by state revenue. We have no idea how long this economic crisis is going to last. And charters and any school in general, as your teachers become more educated and have more years, your staff gets better at what they're doing, they make more money, but the students aren't bringing in any more money.
Right.
Revenue is pretty flat, and it's going to be for a while. So we want to raise some significant money because we have some pretty lofty goals.
Okay, well, we've just got like about a minute left here, so we'll wait to the other side and we'll talk about some of those lofty goals. How would you say that the big difference, well, that's too long a question, too, the big difference in how you instruct, is there a big difference in the things you do in the instruction, obviously, with, you know, since you're the scholastic standing is so high. So, how many, I know that Bishop Quinn has left the area. Are there any other, I mean, how many other private schools are there in the area?
Well, there's Liberty Christian School and Reading Christian School.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some smaller Reading Adventists. There's some smaller schools. They've been around for a while. Reading Christian started within the last couple of decades, as I remember. It mm-hmm. wasn't there when I first started in education.
Okay.
And there's some small elementary schools that are private.
All right. So the and most of those are all Christian affiliated, I would imagine.
Yes, and there's a lot of charter schools. Okay. K-8 charter schools, too.
Okay, well, let's talk about that, too. Our guest is Aaron Stewart. We're talking about UPREP school, but we're talking about charter schools, and we're talking the differences between charter schools and our regular public schools. And is there a reason that they score higher scholastically than our regular schools? Is it the quality of the teachers, the quality of the students? Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:34 in the morning on the 3rd of March. It's 45 degrees. It's going to get some rain today. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo. And if it was up to Anselmo, they'd always have good weather. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. One of my favorite places. You know, Tobacco and Brew is great. You know, you just go down and get an Espresso Joe's and get a coffee. You meet your friends down there. They've got a meeting room you can go into, and after you get your coffee or tea or drink, you can go in there, and they got free Wi-Fi. They open it up for meetings for people. It's free. And they are supporters of our community. I mean, not just huge taxes that they pay into our community, but also they support veterans. They threw a birthday party for a little girl that was 2 years old, whose family had just had a fire and lost all their possessions. And Shelly and Joe threw her a birthday party that, you know, raised money, got clothing for them, and the whole thing. And, you know, these are things you never hear about. And you hear about them here because we believe they should be publicized. Anyway, Tobacco and Brew, 2143 at Hilltop Drive. Our guest, Aaron Stewart from UPREP. And, how, you know, the selection of kids is just a lottery.
Right.
Okay. What makes it so much different for you all at UPREP?
Well, one thing is I was able to hire my entire staff. So I hired people that were in line with our vision and mission. So the teachers came in knowing that we were going to have advisories and tutorials, that they were going to all be expected to also have an extracurricular function so they could have that other relationship with students, like so, a coach or whatever.
So you started from scratch. You could hire the ones you wanted.
That's right.
And you you brought them under a vision, a clear vision, mm-hmm. and a mission statement that said, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
This is how we're going to accomplish it. And if you want to sign on this...
This is part of the deal.
Part of the deal.
And, of course, we have no tenure. So nobody in our organization has tenure. And I don't think people come to work every day wondering, am I going to keep my job? But it does, I think, raise the bar when you are saying every day I put my job on the line, do my best. And I think, you know, a lot of teachers do that. I know I did for 27 years when I had tenure. But that wasn't why I did it, and I'm not so sure it's necessary.
That tenure is necessary?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's not necessary, actually.
So, I think a lot of people believe that. But that must lead to some interesting conversations with fellow teachers.
Well, it does.
And principals.
Well, some people, I think administrators are with me on that. Because it gives them more freedom. And, I mean, everybody who's taught in the system for several years has taught next to a teacher that wasn't very good. And that hurts the whole school. And nobody likes that. If you're really passionate about your job and you want to do your best for kids, you don't want to know you're sending them off to the next level of your subject, and they're not going to learn anything that year.
Yeah, how could you take a good student that maybe needs that special touch, and you know you're sending them to an incompetent?
Right.
And there's nothing anybody can do about it. Now, I understand in New York they've got, they just had to lay off or fire something like 6,000 teachers mm-hmm. there. There's like 4,000 teachers in New York that don't even teach because they've been deemed unsatisfactory to be in the rooms, but they still have to pay them and they have to still be on the rolls.
Right, and they go to some place and sit all day.
Yeah,
it is the weirdest thing. I know.
And here's the thing is that when they wanted to have to turn loose 6,000 teachers, they couldn't turn these 4,000 loose.
Right, they were protected, I'm sure, by their bargaining unit.
By their bargaining unit.
Mm-hmm.
Union? Yes. Is that what bargaining unit is?
Same thing. Yeah. They'd rather be called associations, I think.
Of course they would.
It's a weird thing. You know, teachers are professionals, and yet they have the protection of an association. I always found that to be contradictory, kind of a paradox. Most professions don't have that kind of protection. If you're professional, you know, you're educated, you have a bachelor's degree or more, you know, usually unions are associated with more blue collar kind of stuff. And I think within that contradiction, there have been problems. I know unions were started for great reasons. I'm just not so sure, and we see what's going on in Wisconsin. Now, with this economy, there might be a better way to go, or at least a little more cooperation between unions and administration. But, you know, I got away from that, and that was a very deliberate choice on my part.
To get away from, you know, and that seems to have worked out pretty well.
It has worked well. For one thing, we have that, I think I have the best staff in California. You know, they love kids, they're there because they want to do their best. And everybody works every day to get better. We do use a lot of the same techniques that every school does. But when you have somebody committed at that level on a daily basis, it's just a better place to be. And the other thing I think, too, that's helped us is that we have those increased offerings for kids, more periods. We have programs nobody else has. We teach Mandarin.
Yeah, I saw that, Mandarin.
Russian, Latin.
How many kids do you have in those classes?
In the Mandarin classes, well, it's interesting. Our Mandarin teacher teaches two sections at Enterprise.
Uh-huh.
And then he teaches three sections at our school and also a computer web design class. And so he probably has about 100 students total.
Learning Mandarin.
Mm-hmm. Chinese, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And when I say Mandarin, sometimes people, I know you know what I'm talking about. Chinese. But
yeah.
it is the main language.
Right, there's two. There's
Cantonese
and Mandarin. Mm-hmm.
And then some of the
story is that we actually sent a Marine over to work in the embassy there,
mm-hmm.
because they said, oh, she speaks Chinese.
Well, right.
She didn't speak Mandarin. She spoke Cantonese.
Oh, great.
She couldn't talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and there's a, I mean, if and there is a huge difference in the dialects.
Well, federally, they've identified some languages that they want to be taught more widely.
And this, when you say federally, you mean from our government.
Right. There. And so we even had a grant that we shared with the Reading School of the Arts, which is a K-8 charter, and they actually have a Mandarin immersion program. What we do with the Russian and the Mandarin is those are languages that the federal government has identified as targets. Arabic is the other language. That they see that in the future people need to be very versed in those languages. Because we have a global economy now.
Yeah.
The world's smaller.
We got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this just a little bit. That, you know, the fact, what about the idea of before you graduate from high school, you should be able to speak another language? Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Right here on KCNR 1460. It's 8:45 in the morning on the 3rd of March. Carl Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. She is getting ready for her show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott. She's talking about theater. She's going to talk about a lot of the things that are going on this weekend. One of the things that are going on, of course, is out at Harrison's Marine. They've got a big sale going on out there, and they have everything you can imagine. They've got RVs and boats and trailers and stuff, and they're local people, and they're great. They're great at what they do, and you know, take a look at it out there. I know there's a lot of other things going on, but you know, they've got a sale going on out there. Just drive on, stop on by, and say hello. Our guest, Aaron Stewart from UPrep, University Preparatory School, is the superintendent and principal. And one of the things that she has said today, in case you haven't been listening, and I know you all have because I've been kind of following it here, is that you were able to hire the ones you want.
That's correct.
The teachers you want. You had a clear mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
They had, everybody understood. They have no tenure.
Right.
And the fact is that it works because your grades are higher and your scholastic standing is higher.
Yeah, we're doing well on the state and nationally normed tests. And by comparison, we're doing really well.
Well, you know, and the thing is, this is not bragging. This is just a fact.
Right.
That when you started this is what you wanted to do. You wanted to prepare. So, and we were talking about languages. How you have Mandarin's being taught and Russian,
Spanish, French, and Latin.
Spanish, French, and Latin. What do you think about should high school or should students when you graduate from high school should they have a foreign language?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And why do you think we don't?
You know, it's one of those things like performing arts and fine arts is the first thing that seems to go whenever there's a budget crisis, which is, I think, so short-sighted and unfortunate. Learning another language should start when students start school, because that's when they can learn an unaccented language. That's when their brains are very facile. Kids who grow up in a bilingual home learn both languages automatically.
Right.
So that's the kind of thing that we need to take advantage of. I don't understand. If you travel anywhere else in the world, people have at least two languages.
Anywhere else in the world. To be the only ones that we want our kids to get out of school just speaking English. Of course, we'd probably be happy if the kids that graduated from our high schools would speak English
Correct
English. Yeah, there you go. Is there any chance you can make a requirement like that at your school?
Well, we do have a requirement. Our high school students have to take 2 years of a world language to graduate from our school, which is unique to us in this area.
Okay, nobody else does that, right?
No.
Now, does that mean they have to take a test at the end of it saying, yes, I can speak this, or at least I, you know?
We do have end-of-course standards like that, we do. And we have had great success with our students in college. When they go in, they take a placement test for languages. They're placing quite high. And we actually use a very different method of teaching language called TPRS, which is Total Proficiency Through Reading and Storytelling. And the short version of that is it's based on how the brain really learns language. So when you're a year old or 2 years old and you're learning to speak, nobody hands you a vocabulary list or asks you to memorize a monologue, which is how traditionally languages have been taught. Instead, you just interact and talk and tell stories, and nobody corrects your grammar right away. Because you shut people down when you do that. So it's a whole method. In fact, our Russian teacher and one of our Spanish teachers, they're going to China this summer. They've been hired to come over and teach their teachers how to use this method to teach English.
Well, the Chinese and Japanese and all these other countries in the world want to learn English.
That's right.
Because it's the business language and it's the arts and entertainment.
Right.
A lot of programming
mm-hmm.
comes in this. And I just can't believe that, that we don't do this. Of course, this is so far beyond me, but the fact that a charter school can do this, can any charter school make this as one of their graduation requirements?
That's correct.
Well, you all aren't. You're not restricted as restricted in many ways as
no.
regular public school.
No, we have to work within our authorizer, Shasta Union High School District, so our students meet all of their requirements for graduation. And so there's 230 credits required. We require additional. So we have 260 credit requirement. And within that is 2 years of a world language in high school.
Okay.
And within that is a higher level of math and just some different things. They have to take a fine art.
So you haven't, there's these requirements you put on your students. They're not, when they sign up for this, the parents know.
That's right.
It's going to be a little bit tougher.
They do.
Yeah.
But they know we're going to support those students through the tutorials, and we have study halls, and teachers work with kids individually.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got people on the phone line, and we're going to be talking to Aaron Stewart, who is superintendent and principal at UPREP. And I tell you what, I knew about UPREP, for just being out there. I mean, I just kind of wandered the hallways and in the classrooms there when I was teaching. I didn't realize all of everything that you all provided out there. I'm very proud that we've got schools like this right here in Shasta County and in Redding.
Thank you.
And Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Down, back, down. You can stand me.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl Linda Bott, Linda's on assignment. She'll be back tonight for On the Spot with Linda Bott, her show. Theater and music entertainment. It's 8:53 in the morning. It's on the 3rd of March. It's 48 degrees out there. It's going to be raining today, off and on. Our guest is Erin Stewart from she's the principal and the superintendent of University Preparatory School. And I tell you what, I'm just happy that we've had you on to talk about this. The things that you all espouse there are just so. So I think what people want, and we wanted to cover one thing, is that you all are a college prep school.
Our high school, strictly college prep, honors and AP.
So, but that means with the extra programs, people that may not be, they may need some assistance.
That's right, and we have a lot of support systems in place. Those are the best materials and curriculum you can offer a student. So why shouldn't all the students get them? That's our philosophy.
Question. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the phones. John, good morning. You are on KCNR 1460.
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to Aaron. Aaron, first of all, I just want to tell you how much I like and appreciate what UPREP does and the high caliber of students. I saw an award winner at Lions Club Debate Forensics Competition last year. She went to several competitions, and she was from your school. Won them all. Did great. Fantastic speaker. The confidence that your students have seems to be incredible.
Thank you.
Now, the other day I was at Sunset Market, and they have a contribution place there for a UPREP safe graduation program. Can you speak a little about that?
Yes, it's similar to the sober grad programs at all the schools. We're sponsored by the chemical people of Shasta County, and the parents actually provide a place for the students to spend the entire night playing games, and I don't know what all they do there, dance, swim, all kinds of things. We were fortunate enough to be able to use the YMCA last year, and they had a band and sumo wrestling, all kinds of things. But it goes back to the 80s in this community when we lost a student at Enterprise who died the day of graduation. And the community rallied and put together Sober Grad, and so we have our own program that's very similar. And we just ask for contributions, and it's the seniors. They're out there raising funds, and I notice they have been putting those cans around the community.
Keep up the great work, Aaron. I think you're fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
Right, bye. Wow. Well, let's talk about it again. Let's go hit that fundraiser one more time. It's Saturday night.
It's Saturday night at the Gaia. It's called Moroccan Nights. It's our dinner auction. It's our third year. Put on by the Educational Foundation of University Prep, and it's a great event. A couple hundred people there, all kinds of wonderful prizes, entertainment. Diane Herner heads it up, and she just does a fantastic job. Mark LaSalle is our auctioneer. We have
Mark always does a great job.
He does, and I was at an auction last week that he did, and I bought a puppy. So there you have it.
They're auctioning puppies?
I don't think we are at our auction, but I got one last week. She's pretty cute.
Auctioning puppies?
Mm-hmm. I fell for it.
Well, Mark can sell things, that's for sure.
I
think he works the Turtle Bay one. Linda's going to be emceeing that with Dave West.
Yeah, he does a great job.
Yeah, he does. And he's also got the EDD now, I think,
right.
Economic Development.
Right. And information, by the way, information about any of these things, the Moroccan Nights, anything, they're all on our website, uprep.net.
So you're getting ready for the big lottery?
Yep.
Okay, when's that going to be?
March 10th.
Okay, now, do you give out, like, T-shirts and hats like they do in the NFL?
No, we don't.
Okay, and you probably don't get into big arguments like the NFL does on, you know, if I make a billion and you make millions, that's not enough.
No, we don't give rings either.
Okay. You know, it's really been great you being on here, Aaron, and talking about University Preparatory School. I find a school like yours easy to support.
Thank you.
In the sense of how you've set it up, you know, what your standards are and the goals and the missions and how the teachers have joined in on this and the parents, because do the parents obviously still play a big role?
Oh, the parents are very involved. And we have a volunteer, 10-hour-a-year volunteer requirement. So the parents, even without that, they're very involved. And the whole staff, not just the teachers, our whole clerical staff is everybody. Everybody can articulate the purpose of the school, which I think is very important.
That is important, mm-hmm. because everybody has bought in.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for being on, and I hope Saturday is just a great, great fundraiser for you.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, if anything else you have coming up, just give us a call, and we'll have you back on again. We'll get an update.
Great.
On
next
We'd
year. Love that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Bye.
Bad Bob, what are we looking at today for the end of the day for weather? And keep talking for like 30 seconds.
You need to stall for time. Well, one more time, looking at the weather, 48 degrees in downtown Reading. Showers likely this afternoon. That will be tapering off tonight. The overnight low should be about 38 degrees. Got some winds out of the south, about 7 miles an hour. Increasing clouds for your Friday. High will be near 62. And as I said, currently downtown, 48 degrees. Weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Okay, yeah. Tomorrow we're going to have Les Bond and a number of other people. We're going to be talking with Les about, you know, some of the things about the department heads paying all their CalPERS. We're going to be talking about, I want to talk to him about what's going on again with the right of the people to be able to actually use use the facilities in our forest, and what's going on with the latest thoughts if that fee doesn't pass. You know, the for the vehicle licensing fee doesn't pass for some reason, the impact it's going to have on our county. All that's tomorrow. The weekend, there's a million things going on, of course. Linda and I are being the or judges for the Dutch Oven Cook-Off, which last year we had to roll out of there on a on a wheelbarrow.
I'm sorry, Brendan and I are going to miss that. Geez, that's worth the price of admission.
Oh, I tell you what, it's just, you know, you can only get eat one bite. Because there's so many entries, and then of course, then at Wind River for the costume ball, I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going as because it's, you know, right now I'm just being told what to do. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, yeah, KCNR 1460, a home of Free Fire Media. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.